So to retain that light and see that the veil doesn't come and cover it again, one has to be in the company of people, proper people. That is what you call satsang. When I say the company of people, not necessarily always in person. Personal company you cannot have always. But whenever you have it, take the benefit of it. Other times, keep the teachings. Remember it every day, every day, every day. Spend as much time as possible in remembering the teachings. Books are your company. People are your company. The memories of that great moments are the companies. And again, the people who seek in the same path, the fellow seekers, they remind you. That is why the ashrams, the satsangs, the groups together. At one point, Buddha clearly said this: don't try to walk as one man. You may always slip. So better walk with others, so that each one can help the other. I'm not giving the exact word. That means he stresses the importance of Sangha, the group. Because in the Buddhist teachings, the Sangha is a very important teaching. Buddha Dhamma Sangha. That is, they are even chanting, Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyam vibhuttaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. After years of interval, I heard this again through Alan Watts in the monastery, Mount Saviour Monastery Symposium. This is the Buddhist prayer. Let me take refuge in Buddha. May I take refuge in his Dhamma. Dhamma means Dharma, his teachings. And the third one is, may I take refuge in his Sangha, the association, the society, or his institution. The Buddha, the people who follow the same teaching, is a Sangha. Sangha means the group. So Buddha, his teaching, and the group that follow the teaching, all the three are important. Mere thinking of Buddha alone is not enough. Remembering his teaching alone is not enough. The most important thing is the Sangha, the company. That's why Shankaracharya clearly puts it. Satsanga, satsangatve nishangatvam, nishangatve nirmohatvam, nirmohatve nishchalatatvam, nishchalatatve jivanmukti. If you want to attain jivanmukti, or in other ways, if you want to attain liberation, even while living in this life, attaining liberation is not only after you die. Who wants that kind of liberation? You are already liberated then. You have to feel that liberation right now in your daily life. That is jivan mukti. Jivan means while living. Mukti, liberation. How could that be achieved? The only thing, he says, you don't need to do anything. Just keep the company of the right people. Live in the proper association, satsanga. How can satsanga take me to that jivan mukti state? He points out the steps, which happens automatically. The satsangatve nishangatvam. If you are in satsanga, if you are in yoga well retreat, automatically you are not in the go-go. Huh? Automatic. Huh? You can be in both the places simultaneously. How can you be standing in the line in Sunset Boulevard? No. You are here. So automatically you are cut off from that. So when you have satsanga, the asatsanga is not there. Then, when the asatsanga is not there, you don't have the botherations. Nishangatve nirmohatvam. You don't get into difficulties. That also happens automatically. Then, if I don't get into difficulties, what will happen? Nishangatve nirmohatvam, nirmohatve nishchalatattvam. Then you are peaceful, calm, quiet, happy. You don't need to worry about anything. You find the peace. Then, nishchala tattve jivan mukti. And that is all. If you could keep yourself steady in that peace, you are liberated. After all, what is liberation? From what? From the disturbed mind. You liberate your mind from the disturbance, you are free. You are always free. By disturbing the freedom, you feel that you are bound. So the company, satsanga, that is what is the sangha, Buddha Dhamma Sangha. These are the three watchwords. This is the mantra they repeat every day. If you see a Buddhist, this is the mantra. Buddham saranam gacchami, Dhammam saranam gacchami, Sangham saranam gacchami. The regular prayer is this. So by this we can realize the importance of the company we choose. It is by the company we are made. Is not there a proverb? Tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell you who you are. So you don't need to be analyzed individually. If you just tell him your friends, then you know who you are. He can easily tell you who you are. As Ramakrishna puts it, however careful you are in the kitchen, you still will get a little black soot. I'm talking not about the gas and electric kitchen, but in the olden days, when you burn firewood, the whole kitchen is always completely black, filled with soot. So however careful you are, you might get a little black spot. So a seeker should know this. However careful he is, he might just get a little black spot. Unknowingly, unconsciously. So he must be very, very careful about it. Sometimes we think that we are karma yogis, we want to go and serve others, save others. Before you save others, save yourselves. Before you try to save other man's drowning from the water, learn to swim yourself. Without knowing that if you jump in to save him, God save you. They remind me, somebody asked me a question. It was a general question, because the floor or anybody just puts a question, and the panel of the gurus, anyone who wants to answer can come up and answer. So somebody asked the question, what is the place for all these spiritual institutions? What should they do? Then I got up and said, the institutions are like different restaurants. They should allow people to come and eat what they want. Could you give some hints on how to avoid drowsiness and loss of attention while sitting for japa? is better to find out the reason here. Why you are drowsy? It may be due to your full stomach. If you have eaten something and your stomach is puffed up, you might feel dull. If you are too tired, you might feel drowsy. And if you were indulging in tamasic thinking, you can't just sit in meditation and right away go to sattvic state. So it could be mental or physical or both. So think how you spent the previous hours, and the drowsiness might be the cause of that. And to get out of it, make yourself alert physically and mentally by doing some breathing. That's why even we give bhastrika, to make yourself alert. And then a little alternate breathing. And then do some chanting. It's not advisable to start japa immediately as soon as you sit. Preparation for japa is more important than japa itself. Something like when you want to go to sleep, you can't just come from the office and jump into the bed and sleep. You have to undress, change the dress, wear light dress, have a bath, prepare the bed. If you are hungry, take something to drink or sleep, eat. Preparation to sleep is more important. See, if you make a better preparation, you can sleep well. Take care of the noises. The same way japa also, the preparation is necessary. So if you feel very tensed, do a little bit of one or two asanas. Do some savasana, relax. Then sit and do a couple of pranayamas. Then chant a little loud so that the mind can be more alert. When you chant, chant it with feeling. Say any prayer. Particularly in the matter of prayer, you need not just follow the same prayer or follow everybody. Your prayer may not be good for the other person, because when you read certain psalms, a particular psalm will touch your heart more than the other. So then that is your prayer. Sing that with the feeling. So you awaken your heart. And then when the feeling comes there, then you slowly switch over to japa. So certain prayers, chanting, will do good to get into japa. So these are the preparations to drive off drowsiness. And still if you feel dull, sleepy, better stand up or walk and do your japa, walking meditation. Don't sit in one place. Some people somehow get used to sleeping. The minute they sit for japa, the next minute they are in samadhi. And they think they are high. If you think that you have got used to such a thing, never even sit and do a japa until you drive this habit out. You will help me very much by answering this. Please talk about prayer. I am confused by the seeming contradiction between having trust in the cosmic plan and praying. What is the contradiction here? Having trust in the cosmic plan and praying.
Probably your idea of praying seems to be wrong. When you pray, not that you are asking this and that and that. Your prayer is to say that you are being used by the cosmic plan. That's why in prayer we say, I am thine, all is thine, thy will be done. Not to demand, give me a little this, give me a little that. No. Some people do that. But how do you know that it's going to help you? Sometimes you may ask something that will not help you. It may even hurt you. So the sincere prayer is not to demand anything, but to say, God, anything that is good to me, you know. I'm your child. Guide me. Direct me. I cannot demand this and that. I may make mistakes by my demands. I cannot choose things. Like if you just go ask a little child to go and pick up things in a store. Suppose the child picks up a sharp knife. Because it glitters, it's nice, good looking. It might hurt itself. So instead, a good child will say, Mama, I don't know, there are so many things around. I don't know what they are. You just pick up something that's nice to me, with which I can play, will not harm me. That's where you trust Mother. So here you trust God. Even without your asking, the God is going to take care of you, no doubt. But if you feel like asking, say, I'm yours, don't you know? You do anything you want. If you still want a kind of prayer, you say, let me have this kind of understanding always. That I am your child, you are every minute taking care of me. Let me not forget this. Keep me this boon of constantly remembering this truth. Who is praying here? Not that pure self. The pure self never prays, never worries about anything. It's the same. Who is the prayer? The person who prays? The ego. So you as ego go and say, by my own ego I may make mistakes. I may do things wrong. So I allow you to work through me. That is what is prayer. You allow the ego to work through, to be handled by the cosmic consciousness, which you call God. That is what is meant by prayer. So there's no contradiction at all.